Evening. Welcome to Living by the Book. Y'all first year students, right? Yeah, all right. That's good. Well, let me prelude you by saying this school is not about getting accreditation. It's not going to make you a better preacher. We're not here to make you a reverend, a preacher, call you a pastor, anything else. We're here for you to learn who you are, who you're supposed to be, who Jesus called you to be, and that's a wrap. Everything else blossoms from that. You can't get that one down. You don't need to have nothing else. All right, so how many of y'all at school Monday? Any of y'all at school Monday? Yeah, welcome to school. The apostle came out wide open. They ain't playing no games. All right, now you just don't want to catch him on the wrong night. Just do everything you're supposed to do and everything gonna be all right. I just tell you, just do what you're supposed to do. Do what you're supposed to do, and everybody gonna be calm. If you walk in late, just walk in light. All right, just trying to help you out. It's gonna be a great class. Father, we thank you. This moment is yours. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Living by the Book. That's our book, Living by the Book. We're gonna use this book as a guideline, but this book is not the end of what we're going to say. Just like this book is not the end of what God is saying. Okay, God is always speaking. Faith is ever increasing. We're always learning something new. I need you to come to class, and you should do this with all your classes, but don't come here with what you know already. Amen. You know that already, don't you? Amen. You got that one down, don't you? Yeah, so let's leave that one where it's at, and let's learn some new stuff, some fresh stuff, all right? And some of the stuff that you think you know, you don't really know it. If y'all know anything about me preaching, I'm gonna challenge what you think you know about Jesus, God, and everything else. And a lot of times you're gonna leave this class thinking I'm wrong. Nah, that ain't right, but I'm gonna show you in the scripture. Nah, that can't be. And I'll show you the truth about it. That's gonna happen a lot because anytime they got this word to use, and I'm not trying to be deep, but they got this word called ossifying. And your body can do it, but your brain can also do it too. When it hardens and it gets stuck in a state where it can't let no new ideas come in. And so no new flow, no new movement can come in because you think you know already. And so I've conditioned my personal self to not be so caught up in a box or in my own box or in my own, you know, I've been preaching for 18 years now. Who cares? Those years don't matter, don't mean that I've grown. Are you understanding me? But sometimes you get, well, I've been preaching for 18, I don't care. Because there's always something new to learn. Even John the Baptist was paving the way for Jesus and didn't know who he was. Knew who he was, but then went back and asked the question, are you the one, do we look for another? You the one baptized me. Yeah, everybody saw the dove. You saw it. Yeah. Are y'all understanding me?
Yes, sir.
One of the things we're going to do in this class, everybody say imagination.
Imagination.
One of the things we're going to use in this class is our imagination to understand what was going on. One of the great things I liked about this book when I first read it, and I read it before I even had this class, but it causes you to we've learned to read the word of God for duty. Mm-hmm. Can you agree? You read the good book. I don't care who taught you about the Bible. Who we learn to read. You got to read your scriptures for the day. Mm-hmm. You know, read your, make sure you read, do some devotion. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the rest of your day if that's devotion? Mm-hmm. Your life is devotion. Yeah. Everybody say, my life is devotion. Say,
my life
is devotion
in the flesh.
But we've learned to do it in a certain section. Take you about 15, 20 minutes at the beginning of the day, read you a couple of scriptures, read Proverbs. What's today's date? Anybody know today's date? What's today's date? So read Proverbs 12 today. Nothing wrong with that. I get it. And all those things lead you to a deeper understanding of who you are in Jesus. But we cannot stop there. So we learned as a devotion and not as a personality. We learned the scripture as a devotion and not as an identity. Who do you find when you start searching the scriptures? Now, when we finish, you're not gonna want to put this book down. Oh, yeah. When we finish, you're going to be trying to sneak away to look at this book to see what you look like. Hasn't it been a toil? Can y'all be honest with me? One of the things I need you to be is honest with me in my class. Like, be honest with me. Everybody loosen up. I need you to be honest with me. So I don't need you to be super spiritual. I don't need none of that. Don't try to prove nothing to me because I already know. All right? But hasn't it been a toil? Yes. Hey, you skip a few days. Raise your hand. It's been a toil, and it's been a grind. studying the Word of God can end up, and we're taught that sometimes in religion and denomination, it's become a grind and become a, and sometimes if you grind it out enough, you get past the way it becomes a love, or it becomes a habit. But for the most part, the book talks about it being like shredded wheat versus strawberries and cream. And you know, you might like shredded wheat, so that's cool. But it's like it's hard to kind of digest, no taste. It's bland. Has the Word ever felt like that to you? Don't lie. God don't feel no kind of way. Listen, He know already. You know God know everything, right? You know the Father already knows how you feel about something before you felt about it, right? So they'll be like, well, I don't want Him to know how I feel. He knew already. Remember in the garden, they're like, we hid because we were naked. I knew we was hiding that already. Already, how you gonna hide from me? I made it all. So He already knows. So I want you to answer me so we can be honest. See, the person that need to be honest is you, with you. See, God don't need nothing else from you. He made you. The revelations come with you being honest with yourself. So it's been tough. It's been like chewing bricks sometimes, right? It's been like chewing something dry and it's duty. Then you be like, I don't like religion. And then then we start saying all these different things, right? Because it become hard and it was never meant to be that way. If we paid attention to Jesus and who He is and what He said about the Word and what the Word was in the flesh, then it'll be an easier flow. If I told you that the more you pick this up, the more you learn about you, you have it up all the time, wouldn't you? Huh? And we didn't learn it that way, though, did we? We learned about God, huh? The more you pick up the Bible, you learn about God, huh? Well, who's that? Who's He? Where you came from? Who's He? And who are you? Is there a difference? Is there a separation? Uh-oh, y'all nervous. I know. I'm going to make everybody. I want you. See, listen. Growth don't happen. When people lift weights, what happens, you know, people get, and their muscles get real big. What happens is the muscles start tearing. It start breaking. Stuff start breaking apart so it can build more. That's the only way growth happens. All right? I'm gonna tear down all them strongholds in your mind. We've been taught that we're separate from the Father too long, and that's why we can't benefit from His fatherhood. They got mad at Jesus, and everybody said imagination. I can imagine the time He's talking to him, and they ready to kill Him because he called God His Father, making Himself equal with God. The Scripture says that. Yeah. We might skip over that one sometimes when we be skimming. We read, but the Scripture says, sonship calls equality with the Father. That means as He is, so am I, and as I am, so is He. We're together. So whatever He's got, I got it. Whoever He is, I am. Why He called Himself I am? Are y'all understanding me? So when we go from the toll of the regiment and the toll of the research and the toll of the study of another thing to you. Well, now we ready to read the Bible. You ready to get in there now, huh? Ready to get in to try to see more about what it's saying about you. The Bible is a story about you. You've been searching for God in all the wrong places. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You've been searching for Him in the sky, and well, Jesus said it. Where's the kingdom of God? Is it low? Here, low that. No, the kingdom of God is where? What's He trying to tell you? What's He trying to say to you? Jesus said this. What's He trying to say to you? Separation has been the biggest trick since the beginning. If you use imagination. If you read the beginning, and they ate from the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Immediately, just the description of those trees, the names. Remember, your name is your character. Everybody say name is character. All right, so what comes with your name is your character. When they say in the name of Jesus, they're talking about in the character, in the likeness, or in the way that Jesus did it. So now when something has a name, it carries that character. So look at the names of the tree. The tree of life, boom, singular, straight up, that's what we're looking for, life. Every time we go to work trying to get some more money, you're trying to get life. When you get a new house, you're trying to improve your life. When you try to get married, you're trying to improve your life. When you try to do all the different things that you're doing, you're looking for life, tree of life. Boom, middle of garden. Major like me, they gave you tree of life. And then you didn't have to eat off the tree of life to get life. You go read that. Notice He didn't say, if you eat from this tree, you'll get life. No, you already life. Say, I am life.
I am life.
But here's this other tree. Separation, everybody say separation. Now this other tree, even the name calls separation. The tree of how deep it is, it got so much more complicated. Tree of Life, whoo. Simple, boom, one direction. Then we got over to this tree of knowledge of good and evil. All these words. And then you got good and evil. James talking about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So now, immediately on this tree, you say, well, good and evil on there don't sound too bad. But now man has to make a decision of what's good and evil for himself. And he's missing out on life. Missing out on what life is. Are y'all understanding me? He's missing out. See, the interpretation of good and evil, we'll throw ourselves off. We start trying to pick what's good and evil. Pain. Real quick, ready? Pain, good or bad? All right, but childbirth has pain. Whew. You ready? Just say it real quick. When I answer what it is, just answer real quick. Like that, all right? Getting cut, good or bad? But surgery, what if you need a surgery to fix something? Good or bad? Gotta cut you though. I need y'all to understand what I'm saying. So we've gotten drawn off from life and caught up trying to figure out what good and evil. We can't figure it out no way. What the law could not do, and that it was weak to the flesh. You know, the commandments, was talking about good and evil all the time. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But what do I do? Those are the nots, but what do I do? And it really further than what I do. Who am I? Because I could be doing something, but if I don't know who I am, I'm not empowered to the doing. So we're getting away from the toll of the regiment of having to do it, because somebody told me that God gonna be mad at me if I don't do it. Anybody? Anybody? You ain't gonna hear the voice of God if you don't know what the word's saying. We heard that, right? So we thinking if we don't read, it's punishment. When it's actually a privilege. Same book, different perspective. You remember, I said this in my other class, you remember, we're gonna do this a lot. Because there's a lot of things that we don't pick up. We read these stories in the Bible, and I call them stories, and read these scriptures, and we've taken the Bible as a rule book and not a life book. See, really what should be, and I'm going to get back to what I'm saying, really what should be going on is you should be searching for what you look like. You know, the Bible is an identity book. Now, Jesus is the ultimate identity of the Father in the flesh. So when you get to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's bread and butter right there. That's a sweet spot right there. That's a spot where you're going, all them red words, right? Right? Everybody say red words? Yeah, I love them red words. That's where you find, then you find your sweet spot of your identity. That's where it's at. But then everywhere else you can find another identity, because sometimes we look like David or Solomon. So we think we wise, but then we might be crazy. Y'all like to read Proverbs, don't you? Yeah, we read Proverbs, but then over in Lamentations, he talking the same guy. Same guy. Said, found a wife, found a good thing. I'll tell you, favor the Lord. He had 300 and 700 concubines. Oh, this is going to be a good class. So you can find yourself in different places. You can find yourself, you can look like Peter. You can look like Job. You can look like Abraham. You can look like all these different ones. You can look like all these different people. And where Jesus? Where the Christ? That's who you really are. So it's really short. And I can't use a map. You know what I'm saying? I can't use a map. The first way to find out where I'm going is finding out where I am. So some you have to use the Bible. Okay. This is where I've been standing at. Concerning this part. Concerning this. This is where I've been standing at. Now I need to walk over here to where Jesus is. Are you understanding me? You remember the story about Jesus asking when he first met Peter? He said, let me use your boat. Launch out a little bit from the dock. Everybody say imagination. So we're going to go in that story right quick. Everybody say imagination. So what's going on is Jesus, these people are thronging Jesus. There's buku people. Buku, amen, if you're online, buku means a lot. It's a bunch of people. Trying to talk to Jesus, and if you understand anything about talking, when they used to build the old cathedrals, they built them in a curve at the top because there were no microphone systems. So it would make the sound carry. It was for a reason, to make the sound carry in those temples that way. It wasn't just built in a dome because it was pretty. It's for the sound. Now we have microphone, but even the stage that we have, it's not so everybody want the stage. Everybody want the stage. The stage is so that a lot of people can see you at one time. So here's Jesus. He's standing on the ground with, but he's got all these people here. So let me get on the ship and launch out a little bit so I can talk to all these people on the shore. Are we here? Everybody say imagination. Can y'all see it? I don't care what color the boat is. Y'all just figure it out, whatever your favorite color is. That's what it is. So now he's on the side of the ship. The ship is sitting here on the water. He's able to teach the people. Then he finished teaching the people. He said, and he tells Peter, and it's almost a thank you for what he's doing, but it's really showing him identity. Launch out to the deep and let down your net for a draught. We don't use the word draught. Just catch a lot of fish, all right? That's what he's doing. Launch out there. Peter said, man, we've been taught all night and taking nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let down the net. Long story short, they go out in the water, let down the net, and close a great multitude of fish. You got to see what's going on, because not only did they get fish, but the people next to them, the neighbor, love your neighbor like you love yourself. The people next to them got the same amount, and the boat sank, right? And that's what their profession was. So that was the jackpot day. We just made it. We Fortune 500 right now. Right? And it's amazing how when the Father really shows you who you are and really does a thing for you, it changes what you think your profession is. Peter came and fell on and said, I'm a sinful man, get away from me, but he holding on to his legs. I'm a sinful man, I ain't no good. He said, he jumped out of his clothes. He said, what's going on? Who are you? He left fishing that day. No, we just hit the jackpot. God just solidified my business. That's real. Amen. But identity is above any possession. Amen. Don't forget this. And your possessions don't make your identity. Amen. You know, we use the word CEO, boss, pastor, you know, apostle. That's just a title to show you where somebody stands, but it's much deeper. Who they are is really much deeper than the title. Yeah. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. So reverse, round back a little bit, he enclosed a great multitude of fish. Now, one thing about it, it's the same water, same boats, same Peter, but something new involved, which is Jesus. Now, you can see Jesus as the miracle worker. If that's how you want to see him, that's how he's the miracle. Okay, cool. If that's what you want to see, then that's okay. But he's really not trying to be seen like that, because he never showed up in the city talking about, I'm the great miracle worker. Right. Jesus would tell him, don't tell nobody. Right. What you going to say? You know what we're going to say. We're going to start International Fill the Boat Up Ministries in Jesus' name. So I'm going to tell Jesus, don't ever tell nobody. Ain't no people going to tell. I'll raise you up or whatever. You know you're going to go tell. But just, look, I ain't come here for that. I ain't come here for all that. Same water, same Peter, same boat, different instructions. So could it be that we the same Bible, same services, huh? The same devotion, but now we're looking for identity as opposed to a work ethic. And then your perception changes everything. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be sweet. You ain't going to be able to put it down. I'll keep the good book up now. Well, amen. What you finding? Who are you? We're going to be in the book of John chapter 1. And I'm just trying to give you a prelude of what this is going to be like, because even we're going to use words like context. Everybody say context. Everybody say it again, say context. The best way I knew how to describe it was I took Spanish. I took just very little. I'm very intermediate. I don't even know if it's intermediate. It's probably before whatever intermediate is. It's probably it's hola. That's all I got, okay? But I knew that con, C-O-N, meant with. All right, I knew that meant with. I mean, I know that one. I got that one. I make an A on that test. So I knew con meant with. So now context, it means what comes with the text. So when you have context, you have to find out what comes with the text. Now, one of the first things and one of the greatest things you're going to learn out of this class is how to stop being biblically selective. You say, what does that mean? That means you're picking a scripture to try to prove your point and you don't know what the point is. You pick the scripture because it got the word faith in it, and now you're preaching a faith message and you don't know what's going on because you hadn't read before it or after it. You don't even know what's going on. You don't even know who he's talking to. See, when you're really living by the book, you know which way the wind was blowing. What city are you in? Because maybe in this city, he talked differently to these people in this city than he did with these people. Like when he talked to the woman at the well, the Samaritan lady, right? Well, so you got to realize he dealt with racism, gender equality, and religion in the same conversation. Because we're not even supposed to be having a conversation. You're a Samaritan. I'm a Jew. The woman said it. Y'all know y'all don't talk to us. Jesus keeps talking because he's not seeing race. Then he starts talking about, woman, you don't know where you worship at. I don't even know where, this Jacob well. You don't know who you're talking to, religion, dealing with it now. Now he's separating, we got these separate, he's bringing it together. Then he deals with the gender because now he said, go tell your husband. She said, I ain't got no, he said, yeah, the ones you with ain't your husband, you done had four of them. And the reason that's important because at this particular time in life, you have to understand the Bible and time. At this particular time, you were either gonna be a wife or a prostitute. Or a daughter till you come to age. He's not even supposed to be having a conversation. This woman that was about to get stoned. Remember the woman they said they caught her in the act? Y'all understand what it means? You got caught in the act? Who caught you? Where he at? Probably staying out here with a stone. I'm not even supposed to jump in line to save you at this particular time in history. I'm not even supposed to be talking to you. Here I am talking to you and bringing things to equality. And then it's important where he was standing, because you know he wasn't standing over on the side and say, stop throwing rocks. Don't throw no rocks at her. She right there, he right here. So if you're going to throw a rock, you got to kill us both. Same conversation. But just using the context of what's going on. So now you begin to read and you bring context. There's a couple other books I read about the history of the Jewish history, what was going on in the Roman Empire, what was going on in Jerusalem and Israel at the time. What was the social climate, the political climate? What was going on? Why are they acting like this? Like Jesus at 12, he's in the temple telling people all his knowledge, and they like astounded as what he's saying. And he's probably saying some of the same stuff he said when we see him over when he's 30. And they probably just as mad, but he's 12, so I can't kill him because he's a little boy. Because in the Jewish custom, you don't become a man until you're 13. One more year, we're going to bust your head. That's why mama knew to come and get him. Yes. Context. Come on, y'all. Yes. Context. Mama knew to come. Boy, come on here. It's time to come on here because I know you know some stuff. I knew when I talked to the angel, you was going to know some stuff. But come on, just come sit up in here with me until you make 30. Everybody say context. So you got to know what's going on. So biblically selected, though, just, well, a good book. He told me thou shalt not, so thou shalt not. And I'm going to pick my scriptures for what I'm trying to say, and I'm going to stand on the word. How you going to stand on the word when you are the word? Instead of standing on the word, stand as the word. Now, I'm not saying anything we've learned about standing on the word. We've heard that phrase before, right? I'm not saying any of that is wrong, but then, you know, the clothes you wore when you was 6 years old ain't wrong neither. But they'd be wrong right now you put them on. It'll be a tragedy. Come on, do y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
there wasn't nothing wrong with them shoes you had when you was 10. Well, some people might still be wearing the same size. Let's go back a little. 4. Ain't wrong with them shoes, but they're wrong for you right now because you're out. So for you to come in with them little shoes on your tippy toes would be a problem. Am I right? Everybody said growth.
Growth.
Maturity. It is not that people say religion. I hate religion. And I'm number one with saying that. Well, religion comes from the word religare, a Latin word which means to bind. Right? So I don't be bound. I'm free indeed in the name of Jesus. But I'm so glad that my mother bound my hand when I was about to walk out in that street when that car was coming. Bind me in the name of Jesus. Because I don't know no better. So the binding is there to keep me in order until you can take the straps off and I still keep the shape. It's almost like learning to stay in the lane without the lines. You know, we take the law away right now, but we just new thing. No law. No, Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law, I come to fulfill it. I came to show you what the law looks like in the flesh. I came to show you what it's like to live the right way without somebody having to tell you all the time. Take the lines out the road right now. Come on, y'all drove here? Y'all didn't ride no horse or buggy here. Y'all drove? Came in the car, right? I can't hear you. Came in the car, right?
Yes, sir.
Take the lines off the road. Take the lines off the road, stop signs, stop lights, yield. None of that. Let's just go. We free indeed. Oh, it's going to be chaos. And we might be the chaos. Have you ever been to a red light and the light turned green and you were supposed to go and another car came flying through? Aren't you glad that life and your understanding of life and your preservation of your own life made you look? Because what the law could not do, and that is weak. But that don't mean it's obsolete. The law holds you in place to keep you living until you know how to live. So even standing on the word, things, I'm not knocking it. We're going to laugh about it a lot, and we're going to deal with a lot of our church phrases. We will. But even then, I have to stand on until I know to stand as. Jesus makes a statement, John 5:39. He says, search the scriptures. Go look at it real quick. John chapter 5, verse 39. This is one of our favorite scriptures. We're going to be going over and over and over and over and over. And I'm going to take you back to John 1 before. But John chapter 5, verse 39. Are you there? I can't hear you. Are you there? All right, go ahead. Take your time. Go ahead. I heard a couple of no's. I'm going to wait till you get done. We're going to read together. I'm just reading out the King James Version just so we all be reading together. If you got another version, just follow along where you think the word is. John chapter 5, verse 39. Ready, read. Okay, we got it. Got that one. We got it. Search the scriptures. We got that one, right? We've been searching? Well, maybe we haven't been searching. We've been searching. Search the scriptures. All right, what did it say after that? For in them you think. Oh, now, he says that. He didn't say for in them you have eternal life. Did he say that? He didn't say for in them is eternal life. Nope. Well, that's what we thought. That's what we've been taught. Nope. He said in them you have eternal life. And he said he didn't say nothing wrong with you thinking that. Right? So don't beat yourself up for thinking that eternal life was in there. Because I'm glad you're on the path. I'm glad that you're even here. I'm glad you're even in the room. Thank God that you're in the room. You knew enough to get in the room. Y'all, you understand me? For in them you think you have. And then what it says? And so that means, and means something else is added to this. So even in your thinking, even in your searching and your thinking that's eternal life, there's something else. Right? And it says, and what? They what? Them scriptures, right?
Right.
Are they that do what?
Justify me.
What color are those words in your Bible? They're red. So who's talking? So now he says, search them scriptures, for in them you think scripture, the short word for scripture is script. Search the script. You know, script, like what part you play? Like a script, when somebody get a script for a play or, yeah, it's scripting out what's supposed to be done, right? It's really not, it's just showing you who you are, showing what role you play. Search the script. Look at it. If any of you think you have eternal life, right? Because that's what you signed up for. Oh, no, you signed up for eternal life.
Yes, sir.
You ain't signed up for ministry school. You signed up for ministry school now, but you eternal life before you came to ministry school.
Yes, sir.
You signed, when you first came in contact, you said you found Jesus like you found him. Like he really found you. But when you first became a Christian or whatever, you signed up for eternal life because you didn't want to go to hell. I know when I was younger, they kept on telling me hell is hot. And it's forever.
Yeah.
I need that eternal life. Come on, no matter what we signed up for, you signed. Thank God we signed up.
Yeah.
My name written in the land. Y'all know what we say, all right. We signed up for that, right? And they search the scriptures because that's what you think they bought what you signed up for. You thought you signed up for heaven. We're going to do a lot of this to pause and think about it. Because you thought you signed up for heaven. And they got you in the room. And a drill sergeant said, oh, we're here for another thing. If you was here just for heaven, then the moment that you said, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, Jesus' name, amen, poof, you'd have been gone. But here we are. Come on. Touch his face. Come on. You still here, huh? People be singing them songs. I want to be where you are. And I'm born, I can't wait to see your face. You lying. Die then. Go. Go. You can go right now. You want to see this? Go. Right now. You're lying. Just stop. Please. So we signed up. Eternal life. They are they who testify who. So we've taken it from a thing and a place to a person. What does the next scripture say? And there's another and, right? So in addition to all that, In addition to certain scriptures, you think in the eternal life, and but they really testify to me, but and. So here he is saying, search the scriptures. It's good. We got that one down, right? And thank God, because we got to search them, but we got to know what we're searching for, but it got to start with a search. Thank God for that. So say your age right now. Say it, go. I. But you was four at one time, right? Four. I know that I'm going young enough. I know anybody. You was four at one time, right? You can't take four out. You can't. Four is a part of your journey. That whole 365 of your fourth year is a part. If you take four away, then you don't even have right now. Are you understanding me? So the searching and the thinking, amen. I'm not knocking you for it, but if you stay in your four-year-old clothes past four-year-old, it's a problem. So it's a part of the journey. Search the scriptures. Think that they're talking about eternal life, right? But they're really testifying of me. They're really testifying of the person, of a person that I am is the person that you are. Yeah. But it's a possibility that you can search and think and never come to Jesus. You thought you came already, huh? You thought you came to Jesus already, huh? We're going to do a lot of word study too. When I look at the word C-O-M-E, the word, it means for something to come to light, or something to come into vision, or something to be revealed. You thought it meant move over here. No, it's just a step into the light. But you would not come to, look at the scripture. What is verse, what is 40? What, read it? You will not come into light. You will not step into me. You will not be revealed. John chapter 1, flip back over, go ahead quick. And there were some things that is in the scripture that has to be reckoned with that we skip over. We skip or we skim over it and we miss them. And they be the very things that show us what it's really all about. So John starts talking. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we took the Word of God from a thing in a book or a thing in the air or a thing that someone says to a being. The Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. That means the Word is alive. Say it.
The Word is alive.
Say it again.
The Word is alive.
One more time.
The Word is alive.
So it's no longer on those papers. It's just on those papers. Those papers are only a map. Even when you use a map, the map is not the road. Y'all taking it from me right now. The map is not the road. So when you use your GPS, that little blue line or whatever it is, say what road you on, but that ain't the road because you see the road right there. And you can't just be driving because on that blue line sometimes ain't no cars in front of you. You better not be looking at that talking about like that because you have to live. Are y'all with me? But the map is important. I get it. The map is important, but you can't build your life on the map. You can't stop with the map. We're looking at maps all day. We're just looking at maps. And what the word, they've been reading the word been. No manifestation, no power, no demonstration, no love, no grace, no peace, no joy. Where's all these things? We faith them and confess them. But you know it's supposed to be more. Amen. I can't hear you.
Amen.
So there's something that's disconnected. There's something that's not there. There's something that's not plugged in. For the sake of time, I'm jumping, but I'm not, this is not how we read. Are you understanding me? Because I only got, 45 minutes, 50 minutes in this class? So for the sake of time, even when you hear somebody mention on a Sunday, you have to go back and, I know, God bless your notes, but you need to go back and read context on what's in those notes. You need to go back and take that scripture and find out what's going on. You'll find more about yourself if you take a little time. I'm going to skip, but this ain't how we read. Are you understanding me? Because I got a little bit of time. You got all day. You go when you get in the car, not while you're driving, but when you get in the car or when you stop and get home, go take your time to read down through this. But it says, Verse 12, it starts saying, but as many as receive him, unto them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, on his character. And he's talking about Jesus, talking about the light and all that right before the verse 7 and 8. But verse 14, well, let me read verse 13 because I got time. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of
God.
Verse 14, read. Ready, read.
And the word was made flesh.
What? What? Hold on, hold on. What? Read that again.
And the word was made
that don't make no sense. That don't make no sense. What you mean the word made flesh? What are you talking about? What are you trying to tell me? And the word. Because it's cool. Word was with God. Word was God right there. We cool it down in the air. But then he says, the word was made what?
Flesh.
And then what else it did?
Dwell.
Oh, it walked out here among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So now we've taken the word from the page to the person. I have to keep saying this, from the page to the person. I'm not downgrading the page. People think when you talk like this that you're downgrading the Bible. I'm not downgrading the Bible. I'm downgrading the scripture. But I know people that threw the Bible at problems and it didn't work. I've seen people burn Bibles before. Are you understand? You know how many Bibles they got in the world? It's the best-selling book over in history. It's number one over all other books. Are y'all understanding? But the situation has come that we have not taken it from just the ink on the page to the reality in you. The word was made, look at the scripture. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Remember, now say this real quick, and we're gonna learn this a little bit more. Say, I am the word of God.
The word of God.
Yes, I am the word of God. Say it again.
I am the word of God.
Say it again.
I am the word of God.
Well, I ain't the word of God. Well, in the beginning, God said, let us make. There was a word before it. Was it a word before anything else happened, huh? So he spoke it before it. So who are you? You know, in the scripture, Isaiah talking about, there's not one word that come forth that return void. He's talking about you. He's talking about you're a word when I sent you here, however you got here. When I sent you here, I sent you here as my word. So don't return to me void. I have context about life and death differently now. Because our context is off. Because we think all this is us. All is sand. This is not what we build on. Jesus said, don't build your treasures on earth. What moss and rust do corrupt, like your body gonna rust. But understand that it's something bigger than this. And it's a different focus. So we don't be crushed. Are y'all understanding me? So I can't leave it on the pages. I can't leave it in the ink. I can't just leave it on the ink, on the pages, and leave it there. I have to realize that it's alive in me as me. He spoke me into existence. I am the spoken word of God. The reason that our quote unquote, and I'm using the quotes, witnessing doesn't work is because we keep on saying what the Bible saying, you ain't saying nothing. We keep on saying, well, you know, the Bible said, who's the Bible? Oh, you can't even say who the Bible is, huh? Because the Bible, let's go back. The word Bible ain't in the Bible. Y'all knew that, right? B-I-B-L-E ain't in the Bible. Then Bible comes from the word bibliotheca. It's an old word that means a library. So it's a library of books. Y'all want this class or not? I mean, y'all don't want this class. Y'all want it just to be the same thing it was. And y'all don't want to go no, you don't want no further than cool. That ain't what's happening up in here, though. I'm going to show you a lot of our favorite church words that ain't in there. I was about to say one, but I'm gonna wait till we get a little further. We get a little bit more acquainted. You won't be trying to go tell on me. Send an email. So the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I don't know that class is. That Dr. Montrell is. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is an example. Jesus referred to the scripture, but he was always referring to the scripture as himself. Right? Luke 4:18 said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, right? But that wasn't a new thing he came up with. That wasn't some new revelation. I got a new word. The word of the Lord came in me. No, that was written back in Isaiah. He just said it's written in your book. That's what your book said. Today is fulfilled in your ears. Can you imagine? See, we couldn't even do it right now. If I got up and I said, Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He anointed me. He said, your book said it. It'll have been fulfilled in your ears. Who you think you are? That's what they said. Who we think he is? Blasphemer. We got to kill him. And then one of the main reasons they wanted to kill him because he was enabling people. You realize that you didn't have to jump over those hurdles. So now I got to keep that control. We as the priests got to keep that control. You know, the priests and politics was in cahoots. You ever heard of separation of church and state? It's a very recent thing as far as history is concerned. But the reason they call it a separation of church and state, because church and state was the same thing. You go read about it. I read this book called Killing Jesus. I just shared with y'all. Y'all might not like the author, but don't worry about that. This book called Killing Jesus is a historical book, strictly historical, about the times. But the priests and the politics were in cahoots. So the politicians and the kings and the rulers at the time would come together with the priests, make sure the priests had enough money, make sure they had it going, because the priests were saying that God said this, so there was nothing higher than what God said. And so those people that believed in that type of thing, you better keep your people under order. So let's stay together. Let me keep you happy so you keep telling the people what we want them to hear. Still happening. So it was in cahoots. Why Jesus coming there whooping people out of the temple? Right? Yeah. Context says the reason he wore them out of the temple because the people were supposed to bring an offering. So they had to pay for a dove or a goat or whatever they can afford. And the better the animal, the better the gift. But what they were doing was on their way to Mecca, the walk, all the way for the path, they were changing the currency so that the money that they were bringing was worth less than what they had. Yes. So they're misusing the people. Then not only misuse them with the government, but then the priests misuse them because they take the dove and say, oh, he got a blemish on it. You got to take it back and get another one. So Jesus said, I'll whoop everybody. Read chapter 1 in the Living by the Book. And we all going to get in the book because I'm not getting in trouble. But it's going to be a good class.